Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Just going to preach you a simple Bible message tonight. Dr. Seitler told us when we were in Bible college, he said, your jokes and your illustrations and your stories will run out. But if you'll just preach that book right there, he said, it's like an artesian well. You'll never reach the bottom of it. So that's what I'm going to try to do tonight, just preach the Word of God and let God help us tonight. And I trust that He will bless our hearts as we look together in His Word in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. If you're able to stand, and Will stand with us, let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Paul said here to the church at Galatia in chapter 5 and verse number 22, said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before You tonight. Lord, we want to say thank You for the good singing that we've heard. Thank You for these men that sung tonight. The songs stirred our hearts and caused us to worship You tonight. And we thank You, Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit of God abiding in us, Lord, that allows us to worship You. Lord, tonight I pray now as we look into Your precious Word, God, that You would speak to our hearts, give us exactly what we stand in need of tonight, and we'll thank You and praise You and give You all the glory for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach a message tonight on the marks of the believer. Marks of the believer in grace. And of course you know the book of Galatians. Paul is dealing with a problem of legalism. And of course we know that legalism is when you try to add something to salvation. That's what legalism is when you try to add works to salvation. And we know the Bible teaches us that salvation is by grace through faith. I'm saved tonight because God saved me. I'm not saved tonight because there was anything good about me. I'm not saved tonight because there was anything good about my mama or my daddy. I'm not saved tonight because of any good deeds that I might have done. I'm saved tonight simply because of the mercy and the grace of God. God looked down and saw a six-year-old boy that was on his way to hell. I wasn't a crook. I hadn't done any bad thing as far as you consider to be real bad. But I was lost, undone, without God, without His Son, on my way to hell. I believe that morning, if I hadn't have got saved, I went to hell. And I went forward, and the school teacher took the Bible, the old King James Bible, and showed me how to be saved. And I simply put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had no idea of what I was getting into. I didn't know how big this thing was. In fact, I still don't know how big this thing is. Hey, the more that I get into this family, the bigger it gets. I mean, the more of God I get, the bigger He gets in me. And the more I read of this Bible, hey, the deeper it gets to me. And thank God, my wife and my children, on the way home today, they were talking about the Bible. And I was just trying to, be honest with you, I was scared to death because I had to preach tonight. And just to be behind this pulpit, it's a great honor and a privilege. I go across, I preach in some areas that Preacher Stewart came from, met a man that he went to high school with. And that man, he's kind of short fella too, like the preacher. But he said there was always something different about Ray. You know, most of his friends and people out, they call him Ray. We call him Preacher Stewart. But said there was always something different about him. And I labored here for a total of about 14 years. And I can tell you there's something different about that man. But what the thing that made something different, what I need to do, brother. Okay. Let me turn, go with the pulpit mic and I won't move. All right. The thing that made it, the difference in Preacher Ray Stewart's life is not him, it's not the man, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what made the difference. And we tonight, we are saved by grace. We're kept by grace. We are sanctified by grace. We are kept supplied by grace. And that grace, the grace of God, Dr. Seiler used to say, it's like trying to hug a mountain. He said, you spend your lifetime trying to hug that mountain, you'll never get it done. And I thank God for His grace tonight. But there's some marks of the believer. Now, in this chapter number 5, there's some comparisons made, and also in chapter number 4, comparisons made to Ishmael, which is a type of the flesh, which was one of Abraham's boys that he had by his handmaid Hagar. And they got tired of waiting on God and decided to fix things up themselves. And what they ended up doing was making a mess. And so the Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman's, a type of the flesh. And Isaac is a type of promise. And thank God that I do have an old nature that's that flesh that will not be done away with until I get my new body. When I get my new body, then I'll drop this robe of flesh and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the skies, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. And so in chapter 5, you have the comparison with the flesh and with the spirit. We're not going to deal with the flesh tonight. I have enough problem dealing with my flesh than to try to preach to you about yours. And so we're going to just talk about the marks of the believer in grace. And starting here, there's actually 4 areas that we're going to deal with tonight. We're going to deal with 1, fruit bearing. 2, we're going to deal with burden bearing. 3, we're going to deal with seed bearing. And 4, we're going to deal with brand bearing. And so the first one we have here in verse number 22 is deals with fruit bearing. Now, as a child of God, as a Christian, we are to bear fruit. And you know, when we bear fruit, it's fruit that will remain if it's been done with the right spirit, if it's been done with the right motive. Then one of these days when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, then we're going to be rewarded for the fruit that we bore for the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. Now, every child of God has within you the ability to bear fruit. Now, some will bear much fruit, more fruit, and more fruit, however that goes. But you, as a child of God, as a Christian, one of the marks of a believer is that you bear fruit. And in Romans 1, you don't need to turn to these scriptures because I'm not going to read the scriptures. I'm just going to give you some things in the Bible here just real quickly where it talks about bearing fruit. It talks about winning souls to Christ as bearing fruit. When you have a part in seeing somebody come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's bearing fruit. Paul told the church at Philippi, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So in this area of soul winning, not only can we bear fruit as far as one-on-one, having an influence in somebody's life, but we can also bear fruit in the area of soul winning through the missions program of the church, through praying for our missionaries and sending missionaries out around the world. We're obeying the Great Commission, and the Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, that's one of the marks of a believer. I mean, if you ever get saved, you want other people to get saved. I mean, if Jesus moves on the inside of you, he'll get so big in you that you'll have to share him with somebody else. And then Paul tells us that in Romans 1:13, talking about winning souls as being a part of fruit bearing. And then holiness in Romans 6:22. Practicing holiness in your life is spoken of in Romans 6:22 as fruit bearing. And then good works in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10 is spoken of as bearing fruit when we do good works. And then praise, the lips of our praise, giving thanks unto God, Hebrews 13:15. Praise is the fruit of our lips, Paul talked about there in Hebrews. But here in verse number 22 is the fruit of the Spirit. And it's in direct contrast to the fruit of the flesh. But tonight we're just going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to notice the first one, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. As a child of God, a characteristic of being a child of God is, and being filled with the Spirit of God, is that we have love one for another. That is godly concern for others. Godly concern for others. That is a fruit of the Spirit. And if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're saved and filled with the Spirit of God, then your life will show forth love. It will show forth love. Love for and genuine godly concern for others. Number two, we see joy. Joy, that's inward peace. And sufficiency. Sufficiency, that means you have all you need. What's that mean? That means if you got Jesus tonight, you got all you need. Now you may have some other physical needs, but the greatest need that you have has already been met because you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so you have joy. You have joy. That's that well springing up into you into everlasting life. I like the song the kids sing. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. They're singing, they're laughing. Since Jesus made me whole, folks don't understand it. I cannot keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. Hey, that's joy. That's real joy. And you know what? That's what this world needs. And this world needs to see some people that have joy. That have joy. That is inward peace and sufficiency. Then notice the next one is peace. Peace. That's a confidence and quietness of the soul. That is a confidence and quietness of the soul. I can go home tonight and pillow my head tonight, and I have wonderful peace. That's what the songwriter said. Wonderful peace. Do you have wonderful peace tonight? If you're a child of God, you can shake your head. Yes, I have peace. I have not only have I made peace with God, but I have the peace of God. And so there's the fruit of the Spirit is peace. But then notice the next one. The fourth one is long suffering. Long suffering. That means patience. That means endurance. Without quitting. Endurance without quitting. As a child of God, a mark of the believer is to have long suffering. Patience. Have patience with each other.
You know, the other song the children sing, "The Lord's still working on me." And you know, some of y'all have already arrived. Well, just, you know, give us time. We'll get there, okay? Just give me time. I'll get there. But patience, long-suffering with each other. That's part of being a child of God. That's a mark of the believer, long-suffering. Isn't it wonderful to have a home where you can have these things? Isn't it wonderful to come and meet with the family of God where you can have these things, love and joy and peace and long-suffering? You'll not find that out there in the world. Hey, young person, you won't find that out there hanging out there with the worldly crowd. Only place you'll find that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only place you'll find it, long-suffering. See, this world, they won't put up with you much. They won't put up with you very long. The world will kick you to the curb real quick. But as children of God, we ought not act like that, should we? We ought to have long suffering. Then the fifth one is gentleness. Now, gentleness just simply means kindness. Kindness, just to be kind, to be a gentle person and kind. And I believe the Lord would have us to be like that. And then the sixth one is goodness. Goodness. What that is love in action. Remember, love is godly concern for others. Well, it's wonderful to have concern for others, but when you put that with goodness, then that puts that love into action. You see? And so we ought to be good. We ought to have some goodness about us. And you know what? I like, you know, and I know that there are people that are not saved that are what we call, I know the Bible says there's none good, no, not one, but there's a lot of good people that are not saved. People, sometimes, and this is sad, this ought to be an indictment against us, this is sad, but sometimes the worldly people treat us better than our Christian brothers and sisters. And that's sad. That ought not be. That ought not so to be. There ought to be some goodness in the child of God. We ought to be good to one another. I ought to be good to you, and you ought to be good to me. And we got, every one of us got faults and failures. Every one of us has failed. Every one of us has stumbled along the way. But hey, the Lord Jesus, He forgave me a lot of my sin. And as He forgave me, I ought to forgive you. We ought to be good to one another. We ought to have some love in action. Love in action, goodness, and then faith. Faith is dependability. Dependability. Also, faith is trust, believing God. But there's also faithfulness. And that's dependability. And then the eighth one is meekness. And I like this one because it reminded me of something that happened to me. But meekness, notice what this meekness means. It means subdued strength. It means subdued strength. What does that mean, Brother Ben? That means that you have the power to do it, but you don't. That means that you have the ability to strike out and to take care of the situation, so to speak. But because you're a child of God and you're filled with the Spirit, then you have meekness. And the thing that you could do, because you have the power to do, you refrain from doing because you're filled with the Spirit of God. Boy, isn't that wonderful? I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want God to help me to be meek. As I saw the definition to that word, I remembered a picnic we were having one time. I'm nutty sometimes. Sometimes I do crazy things. And I grabbed a hold of Ben Hill. I was going to wrestle Ben Hill. And I did. I grabbed a hold of Ben Hill. And I was wrestling him. I thought I was. I was wrestling him. And I felt like I felt him give a little bit. And when I felt him give a little bit, bam, I just nailed him to the ground, son. I mean, I took him to the ground just like that, and I held him to the ground. Y'all don't believe that, do you? Y'all ain't seen these guns. Y'all don't believe that, but I did. I did that. A few days went by, and I got to thinking about that. I said, there's something wrong with that picture. There ain't no way. There ain't no way that I could take Ben Hill to the ground. And I got Ben to the side, and I said, Brother Ben, I want you to tell me the truth. I said, when we was wrestling the other day, I said, did you let me take you down? And he just lowered his head. He said, yes, sir. That's meekness. That's what I'm talking about right there. You have the ability. He could have tore me to pieces. I mean, if I'd have been hit, Joe, if I'd have been Mark would have been in trouble, wouldn't he? I mean, I've heard stories of them boys wrestling. I wouldn't want to get in the middle of that. But if Ben had wanted to, he could have thrown me all over that yard. But he went down. And he made me think that I took him down. That's meekness. That's what it's talking about right there. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have some meekness in Christians? When we have the ability to do, but because we're filled with the Spirit of God and we're a child of the King, we take a different attitude about the situation and we say, you know what? I could, but I would hurt that individual, and so I'm not going to. And that's what Ben did. He could have ripped me up. He said, but I'll hurt Brother Ben Mayo. And so I'm going to let him take me down. That's meekness. The ninth one, the last one, is temperance. And that's self-control. Self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. So we are to be fruit-bearing as a child of God. We ought to be fruit-bearing. Every one of us ought to be bearing fruit in our lives. The second one I want us to look at is found in chapter 6 in verse number 2, and that is burden bearing. Burden bearing. You see, no man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. We are to, as verse number 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to bear one another's burdens. How are we to do that? Look at chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. We are to love our neighbor. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And so we are to love one another. We're not to bite and devour one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. And one of the ways that we bear one another's burdens is that we love one another. We have a genuine godly concern for each other. Number two, in chapter 5 and verse number 26, we are to avoid boasting and envy. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Hey, if somebody gets promoted at the church house, we ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice with those that rejoice, and we ought to weep with those that weep. And we ought not be jealous of one another. In other words, we ought to be bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we're to avoid boasting and envy. Look at chapter 6 and verse number 1. When, as we are bearing one another's burdens, we are to carefully and prayerfully restore the fallen. Carefully and prayerfully restore the fallen. Okay? Verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. There's that word meekness again. We could kick them to the side. We could kick them down. We could talk about them. We could gossip about them. We have the power within us to do something about that individual. But because we're filled with the Spirit of God and we have meekness, what we could do, we don't do to keep from hurting someone and to help them to get back up. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Number four in this burden bearing, we find in chapter 6 and verse number 10. It says this, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. All right? We're supposed to be good to all people, everybody, but especially to the household of faith. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, if you've got aught in your heart against a brother or sister in the house of God tonight, you ought to get that thing right. And if I've done anything to hurt any of your feelings, if I've said something that hurt your feelings, you come and tell me, let's get that thing right. Hey, that's how you have revival. Revival breaks out when the people of God get right with God and get filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, a church can have revival. And so we talked about fruit bearing. Then there's burden bearing. We ought to bear one of those burdens. Then we talk about, let's talk about seed bearing. Seed bearing. In chapter 6, verses 7 and 9, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. All right, seed bearing. How can we do that? Look at verse number 6. Verse number 6 says this, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now that communicate don't mean talk. Okay? There's a lot of big talkers. As missionaries, you run across a lot of big talkers. But that word communicate means to share. In other words, if someone is a spiritual leader has been a blessing to you and has helped you in your spiritual life, then you're supposed to, as a Christian, as a seed-bearing Christian, you are supposed to communicate or share what God has blessed you with. You are supposed to share those blessings with that individual. And as other scriptures that deal with that, but that's as far as we're going to go on that one. Number two, look at verse number 8. We are to sow the right habits of life. In verse number 8, it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So to be seed-bearing, you better watch what kind of seed you're sowing, because you will reap what you sow. So as a child of God, we ought to be sowing the right habits in our life so that we will reap the benefits down the road. Now, we just planted our garden. You look at it and it's just dirt. You think, well, you know, nothing will come out of that. Well, it won't be long till we'll be eating tomatoes out of that garden, the Lord willing. And God sent us some good rain today. We just planted it yesterday. And so today he sent us some nitrogen on that garden. And he sent us some good rain on that garden. We got potatoes planted, onions. And we got just all kind of stuff, sweet peas. Don't y'all come. Don't me catch you in my garden. I remember the first garden I ever planted as a boy. First garden I ever planted. I couldn't wait for those seeds to break through that ground. Well, it rained and that ground crusted over real hard. And I said, you know, I could see where the ground was cracking open where that seed was trying to come through. And I said, you know, I'm going to look look down in there and see what's happening, see if anything's happening. And sure enough, I opened it up, and there was a seed fixing to pop up out of there. But we need to be careful what we sow, because there is the law of sowing and reaping. Number three, in verse number 9, we are in this seed-bearing process. We are not to be weary in well-doing. We're not to grow weary in well-doing. Nobody ever said this is going to be easy. I mean, it gets tiring. I'm telling you, out there on the road, it gets tiring. In the prisons, Brother Bill, I'm sure it gets tiring. And Brother Tingen, all that you've got going on, he's telling me he's going to be preaching all day Sunday before the mission school, and then he's got the trip to the Sudan and all that's going on around the office. And it gets tiring. And Brother Tim, thank God for Brother Tim. What a blessing. Preached with the power of God, the touch of God this morning. And he's got a heavy load on him. And you need to pray for him. God will help him. I appreciate you, Brother Tim. Appreciate just being here, right, when Preacher Stewart and Miss Stewart need you. And I appreciate that. And Brother Tom and the deacons, God bless each one of you. I was here when the preacher said that the deacons told the preacher, said, "You just preach, we'll take care of the rest." That's the way it ought to be. And I appreciate that. And the rest of you, be not weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. Keep on pressing on. The trumpet's going to sound one of these days, and when it sounds, you'll be glad you did. When it sounds and you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be glad you came to church on Sunday night, on Mother's Day, to hear a preacher Ben Mayo preach out of Galatians chapter 5 and chapter 6. You'll be glad you did. So seed bearing. Then the last one I want to cover tonight, and that is brand bearing. Now, Brother Charles Blanton knows about brands. You know, when you brand something, you identify who owns it. Brand bearing. And they brand those cows. I don't know if he brands his cows. He don't look after his cows much anymore, he told me. But cattle farmers, they brand their cows with an identifying mark so everybody knows who that cow belongs to. Well, look at chapter 6 and verse number 17 with me. And this is what the Apostle Paul said about the brand. He said, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks or the brands of the Lord Jesus." I thank God I'm branded tonight. I thank God I'm branded. I'm branded. I don't mind you putting stickers on your car and magnets on your car and all that scripture verses and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you something. This world, when they see you out there in this world on the job, they ought to know that there's something different about you. You ought to have a brand on you. It ought to be clear as day that you're a child of God. Hey, when certain things come up and they say, "Hey, you want to go with us here?" I say, "No, I'm not part of that crowd." When I got out of the military, they just use that. Well, when I went in the military, when I finally got to Pope Air Force Base, on Friday afternoons, they shut down at lunchtime, and they went across the street, played softball, had kegs of beer for everybody. And I mean, they just shut the whole shop down. And I was new. I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea what was going on. I said, what y'all going to do? "Well, we're going to go over here and play softball." I said, "Well, that's good. That's good." And then they mentioned drinking beer. I said, "Oh, that's bad." "No, can't do that." I won't be participating in that. "Yeah, you'll participate in that." The sergeant was in charge of me. Everybody does it. You know, it's part of the morale of the unit, and you can't harm the morale of the unit. I said, "No, sir, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. I don't participate in those types of activities." He said, "Well, if you don't, if you don't participate in activity, then you have to stay in the shop and work till 5 o'clock. I said, thank you, sir. I'll stay in the shop and work till 5 o'clock. They flipped the lights back on. Brother Tingen, I went back to working on Jeeps. I went to whatever I was working on. And the company commander was over there at the ball field, and he saw the lights on over in the shop. And he went up to my sergeant and said, what's them lights doing on over there? He said, I don't know what he told him. But anyway, that company commander came over there to that shop, and I was under a vehicle or something, and he called me out from under that vehicle. He said, from now on Friday afternoons, when we shut down at 12 o'clock, you're free to go. Rest of that crowd had to stay. Most of them didn't want to, Brother Dingin. Most of them would have rather went on home. And so because I took a stand, did what was right, then I got to do what most of them wanted to do, Brother Ronnie. And so I got to get out of there early every Friday. I just went on my merry way. They had to go play baseball, softball. But I took a stand. Had a brand on me. Then when I got out of the military, when somebody gets out of the military, well, they use every excuse they can to have a beer party. And so they said, you know, we're going to give you a going away party. I said, well, that's wonderful. That's fine. I said, there's not going to be no beer there, is there? Well, yeah, we're going to have a party. We're going to have beer and the whole works. I said, well, you go ahead and have your party, but I won't be there. And I reckon they had a party because I wasn't there. Because I had a brand on me. You ought to have a brand on you. You got a brand on you. You're a child of the King. You're not just anybody. Hey, you're something special. You're something special. You don't go where the rest of that crowd goes. You don't do the same thing they do. You don't talk the same way they talk. And every now and then we do, we have to ask God to forgive us. But I want to be true to my brand, don't you? I want to be true to my brand. Now, y'all heard me read this before, but I'm going to read it again because it fits right here. But this is entitled, My Commitment as a Christian. The author seems to be unknown. It is said to be a young African pastor. He was being persecuted. And the report is that the persecuted pastor signed it and tacked it on the wall of his house for everybody to see. And this is what he wrote. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. But my guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes. Give till I drop. Preach till all know. Work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problems recognizing me, for my banner will be clear. I got the right brand on me. How about you? How about you tonight? Are you filled with the Spirit? Do you have the evidence that you are a child of the God, of God, that you're a child of the King? How wonderful it is for brethren to dwell in unity. I mean, to love one another. That's being a Christian. That's what Christianity is all about. Christians don't try to cheat one another. We don't lie about each other. We don't talk about each other. At least we ought not to. We ought not have aught in our heart against each other. If we do, we ought try to make it right. Do our very best. Do our very best to make it right. And as Christ forgave us, we ought to forgive others. I'll tell you what, I need His forgiveness every day of my life. And I'm so glad, you know, when the Lord forgives me. I'm glad He don't run around telling everybody what I did. Well, I'll tell you, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to be a part of the family of God. Do you have peace in your heart? Do you have joy tonight? I mean, are you looking for the Lord to come? Are you looking for Him to come? You know, if these things I preached about tonight, if they're not evident in your life, then you probably kind of hoping the Lord to wait a while till you get some things straightened out before He comes. Because you know that some things are not right, and if He came, He'd catch you unawares and you'd be in trouble. Not for your sin, because once a child of God, you have eternal life. And Jesus said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But there is the possibility of being ashamed at His appearing. That's what Paul said. That we could be ashamed at His appearing. In other words, that is, if the trumpet was to sound right now, would you be ready to meet Him? Number one, the only way to be ready to meet Him is you need to be saved. Are you saved? Because He's coming. He's coming. And it could be before you get home tonight, that trumpet might sound, and you might be wondering where all them Christians went. But you won't wonder long, because the Bible says that God's going to send you strong delusion. You'll believe a lie and be damned. There won't be no hope for you. You say, preacher, you trying to scare me? I said, no, I'm not trying to scare you. But I am hoping that the Holy Spirit of God will convict you to let you see yourself lost. And then if you're here tonight and you're a child of God, but you know that the things I preached about tonight, that there's some things that you need to get settled up with God about, maybe settled up with somebody else about, be a good time to do it. Brother Tim, come with the invitation, song of invitation. And let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed to pray. Altar's open. If you'd like to come, invite you to come. Appreciate your attention tonight as we tried to preach the Word of God. Not a flowery sermon. Just a simple gospel Bible message tonight about being a Christian, the marks of a believer. The marks of a believer. I wonder how many of you tonight, you know the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I wonder tonight how many of you can say, I know I'm saved, Brother Ben. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You slip your hand up and take it right back down. God bless you. God bless you all over the house. I didn't try to see everybody. Not our purpose to try to embarrass anybody. Just wanted to let those that are saved just signify that, testify to that fact that you've got God's brand on you. You're a child of the King. How about you tonight as He begins to play the invitation song? How about you tonight?
You say, Brother Ben, I'm not sure I'm saved. Those things you talked about, I'd like to have. Joy. Talk about joy. Talk about love and peace and gentleness and goodness. Say, Brother Ben, I don't see much of that out there in that world. No, you won't see it out there. But you can have it in your heart. You can have it in your life. And you can enjoy it when you come to the house of God and meet with God's people. You say, Brother Ben, I don't know about that. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd sure like to know it. I'm concerned enough about it to raise my hand for prayer. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you tonight? Say, Brother Ben, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'm concerned about it. Would you slip your hand up? I promise you, I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. Just let us pray for you tonight. Slip your hand up, take it right back down. All right. Child of God tonight, the things I preached about, you say, Brother Ben, God spoke to my heart tonight. One of those things you mentioned, God spoke to my heart, and I want God to help me with that thing in my life that I'll be more Christ-like in my life. Would you slip your hand up? Slip your hand up. Hands all over the building. I see those hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You put them down. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for this precious old book here that keeps us straight, keeps us going in the right direction. Lord, I thank you, God, for these that have come to pray. I pray that you'd meet the need in their lives, their hearts tonight, whatever they're praying about. Pray, Lord, for others here that I know, Lord, that there's some folks here that have needs that we know nothing about, but I'm glad you know it all, and I'm glad you're able to help them, and I pray that you would. Help us now as we sing this song of invitation. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.